Good morning, Restoration. How are y'all doing today? Good. Okay. Two of you are here. Maybe one of you is listening. Either way, listen, my name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am so thankful to be here with you this morning. Before we get into what we have today, I just want to invite you, as Pastor Adam said, to the Awakening Revival that's happening this Saturday at from 4 to 6 p.m. We want to make that a place for you to come and to worship, but also to hear a great content from other pastors in the area about anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and how to forgive someone there. So we want to invite you to be a part of that. And childcare is available as well, so you can sign up online or at the connections table for that. Now, listen, as a pastor and as we speak here, typically whoever's speaking, and Adam is really good at this, is we would have a very, like, funny story to get you in the mood, right? To hear somebody talk for the next 20 minutes. Like, he would make you laugh so hard. Or we share, like, a really tough, pondering question. We ask you like this deep, insightful question, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's like really hit me in the heart, right? And you're like, okay. Or we share a really heartfelt story to even get the dudes in the room crying a little bit, right? Like, I don't know you, but I listened to that Clemson football game day thing about the D-tackle whose sister passed away. I was in the Chick-fil-A line sobbing, okay? The dude asked me what my order was. I said, I'm sorry, I'm fine. I just need my number one. Don't ask me any questions. And so, like, we would tell that type of story to get you engaged. But here this morning, I don't have any of those. We have some funny pictures that I hope you think are funny. I think they're funny. But I don't have any story to grab your attention. What I do have and what I feel led to do in this moment is just to confess my sin to you as a people. Because I think what we're talking about today is one of the deepest sins of my life. It's one of the deepest struggles in my life. It's something I've always struggled with. And simply, I struggle with it because I want to please man. I want to please others. And I've confessed this to my wife, Alyssa, multiple times. I've confessed this to the Lord almost daily. I confess this to the staff to some degree. And I'm just here before you, physically tired, emotionally tired, and spiritually tired. And what we're talking about today is a sin in my life, and I would guess, or maybe it is, a sin in your life as well. And what we're talking about this morning is we're talking about the Sabbath. And now, when you hear the word Sabbath, there's two things you do. You either think about sleep or you want to fall asleep, okay? That's like typically what happens. And now, sleep is a part of what the Sabbath is, but it's certainly not all of it. Now, as a pastor, we have the great skill of going to Google for everything. So I could not help myself but Googling people falling asleep at the wrong times in the wrong places. So I have a couple of images for you, I think. Can we put one up on the screen? This guy is at work, it looks like, or he's playing a video game, not really sure, but all of his friends decided it would be funny to take a picture of him while he's sleeping. Can we go to the next one? I don't even know like how long somebody has to be asleep for that to take place, okay? And I don't know what would happen if that was me and I woke up. I mean, there's even toilet paper in there. Like, I don't even understand what happened here. But man, that's wrong. And then we have this one right here. Travels hard, right? I mean, I hope there's a pulse still there, not gonna lie. Like, it kind of crossed my mind. I was like, do I even show this? They could be dead. Anyway, they're sleeping, right? Travel is difficult here. And then we have, I think, two more, just one more. How to sleep well. I don't know if you saw that picture. It was floating around Facebook a couple of times. Like, how to apply something you're reading, right? Like, you can tell that her thumb is, like, in the middle of that book. She doesn't even need to finish the book. Like, it's over. Like, she knows how to sleep. So those are super funny, right? But there's also times where people fall asleep and it's not so funny. People fall asleep at their job like that guy up there, but he's already on thin ice. And it's the final straw that gets him fired. Or maybe somebody falls asleep while they're supposed to be watching some kids and a bad situation happens. Or maybe they fall asleep while they're driving. In 2017, 91,000 police reported crashes involved drowsy driving. These crashes led to an estimated 50,000 injured people and nearly 800 deaths. So it's not so funny. Because when we talk about the Sabbath, yes, sleep is a part of that, rest is a part of that, but I hope you see today that that is not all of it. And today in America, and I would even say especially here in Hanahan, Mount Pleasant, North Charleston, West Ashley, all of the places, like especially here, we struggle with the Sabbath.
We struggle with understanding the Sabbath. We struggle with understanding how it applies to us. We just struggle living it out. And I believe one of the reasons why that is because in our city, we do not like to talk about our limits. We don't like to talk about how things can still function when we aren't present at work. We don't like to talk about how things are skills that we lack. We don't like to talk about the fact that we are not good at everything all of the time. And I know that because I hate it. I hate talking about me not being good at everything all of the time. However, just because we hate that we have limits doesn't mean that we don't have them. Everyone in this room has limits in their life, including me. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to see Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath. And then I want us to see what the Sabbath means for you and for me today. And so if you will, join with me in Matthew chapter 12. That's where we're going to be. And you can find verse 1. Now, as you're kind of flipping the Bible or as you're turning on your device, I'm just going to kind of recap where we've been over the past couple of weeks. In Matthew 8, we saw that Jesus, following Jesus is always going to cost something. You cannot follow Jesus and live a cost-free life. That does not happen. Then Sean showed us that Jesus, even in the midst of storms, can be relied on and depended on. And then Adam shared that Jesus called Matthew the tax collector, the worst of the worst, the worst of the worst. So there's hope for people like me. And then last week, Adam shared a message on wisdom, a topical message about wisdom and pursuing wisdom and seeking wisdom. And that's where we find ourselves here today at Matthew chapter 12. And I find it super interesting that the next section of scripture after this wisdom is about the Sabbath. It's about the Sabbath. Now, I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to go pretty fast because there's a lot to cover. There's a lot for you to understand. There's a lot for me to understand before we dive into just the meat of this message. So the first thing I want to do is I want to let you know that in what we're about to read, there's three characters, right? Number one, Jesus, the Son of God, right? That he's an important character in the gospel, right? So you should write that one down. So Jesus, the Son of God, the second group of people, or the second characters I will call them, is the disciples. These are people that were following Jesus. Some of them already believed in Jesus. Some of them did not believe, but they were all following him at this time, right? And then we see the Pharisees. Now, this is the people group, the character that I want to focus on and kind of define for us here. The Pharisees were an influential religious sect with inside Judaism in the time of Christ in the early church. They were known for their emphasis on personal piety, their acceptance of oral traditions. In addition to the written law, they taught that all should observe the 600-plus laws in the Torah, including the ritualistic ceremonial purification. The Pharisees were mostly middle-class people, middle-class businessmen, and leaders in the synagogue, okay? They were the minority in the Sanhedrin for us today, so we don't have to get into all that. The Sanhedrin's kind of like the Supreme Court for us today. So they were the minority there. It was made up of 70 men, and they were the minority number of priests in that day. However, the Pharisees seemed to control a lot of the decision-making that took place here, simply because they had popular support among the people. I don't know if you remember, but several months ago, almost last year, really, we talked about Barabbas, last time I preached, and we talked about how the Pharisees were seeking and saying, give us Barabbas, because they had influence of the people, right? The Pharisees had influence of the people. And in this passage that we're going to read, and all throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees were hypocritical, proud opponents of Jesus. Hypocritical and proud opponents. And Jesus even said it, Matthew 23:3, it says this, for they preach, but they do not practice. And listen, I can't relate to that any more than I am right now, because I feel like what I am about to preach is not something that I practice, and it's going to be something that we're going to look at together. The Pharisees, they were self-righteous, they were smug, they thought that they were pleasing God because they were keeping all of these laws, all of these traditions. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says this, you have neglected the most important matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So all in all, if we're being honest, you and I are a lot like the Pharisees, right? Most of us are middle class, a little above. Most of us think that it's good to do religious things. And most of us do religious things to, quote, help our case before God. For example, we come to church not to experience Jesus, but we come to church to look good in our community. Or we wear the t-shirt to the football game, or we give a little bit of money when the church needs something special. Or we don't do certain things on Sunday because that's, quote, the Lord's day. And my question is whose days are Monday through Saturday? That's a totally different message. So we're a lot like the Pharisees, if we're being honest. We're a lot like the Pharisees. So I don't want you to read this passage that we're looking at here, and I don't want you to say, oh, I would never. I don't want you to say, I can't believe them. Or don't think, have they lost their mind? Because listen, like I said, you and I are just like the Pharisees. So if you will, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, let's read this together. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. So pause. So back in the day, right, the edges of the fields were not harvested because there was a law that God said in Leviticus 19:9 and Leviticus 23:22. It says this, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. Then Leviticus 23:22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Why? You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So these disciples were not stealing. They were taking advantage and walking in the blessing of the Lord. So let's continue. Verse 2, it says this. But when the Pharisees saw it, when they saw the disciples taking the grain on the Sabbath, they said to him, Jesus, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Now, it is said that these Pharisees would have had all the first five books of the Bible memorized, like literally in their brain. They could recite it to us, and that's just insane. I can't even understand that. So they knew all 600 laws that are found in the first five books. And they knew why the fields were not harvested to the edge. They understood that. They knew that was a law from the Lord. But these Pharisees were complaining and going at Jesus because they thought that they were breaking the law of the Sabbath. But they weren't taking into account that they were walking in the law that God gave about the grain fields. Can you see the hypocrisy? Can you see the tension here? Verses 3 says this. He, talking about Jesus, said to them, the Pharisees, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read that in the law on how the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he continues, he, Jesus, went out from there and he entered the synagogues. And there was a man there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal him on the Sabbath? And they're asking so they can accuse him, right? So they might accuse him. And Jesus said to them, which one of you, if you had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And as the man stretched it out, it was restored healthily like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him and how to destroy him. So where I want to go is I just want to define the Sabbath for us really quickly. I just want to define what it is for us. So the Sabbath is this. The Sabbath is a day dedicated solely toward God for the renewal of our spirit and nothing else. That's what the Sabbath is. Now, I want to share with you a couple of things. One, we see that the Sabbath was first modeled by God before ever commanded by God. I want you to know that. That the Sabbath was first modeled by God before ever commanded by God. It says this in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy because on it God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. So God rested as a model to us, meaning God is not calling you to Sabbath and not doing it himself. Then we see God commanded the Sabbath in the book of Exodus with the Ten Commandments. It says this in Exodus 20:8-11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and you do all your work, but then on the seventh is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. And on it you shall not work, do any work. you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner within your gates. For the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. So the command of the Sabbath to keep it holy is on the same list as murder and adultery. And I want you to think about this. We fall into the trap about the Sabbath. We say, hey, it's in the Old Testament. Like, it doesn't apply to me. But I think all of us here would say that murder and adultery are sins. And my question is not keeping the Sabbath a sin? And I would say in my life, not keeping the Sabbath, and in your life, not keeping the Sabbath is sin. And it's a sin that I struggle with every week. Now I want to see the purpose of the Sabbath for us. We see Jesus says this in Mark 2, 27 through 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath isn't a selfish day. Isn't it a day where we get to kick back and relax and get served? Because we are to rest, but so is our entire house. Remember what we saw in Exodus? Then in our passage this morning, Jesus tells us that we can do good on the Sabbath. Right? He healed the man's hand on the Sabbath. We can do good. So again, the Sabbath isn't just a rest day from labor or a lazy day for the hard worker. Rich Velotis, the pastor of New Life Fellowship in Queens, New York, he says this, Sabbath is not a reward for hard work. It's a gift we receive. Humanity was created on the sixth day. Their first day was a day of rest. They live from a place of rest. So now we see what the Sabbath is, right? We've looked at the Old Testament. God modeled it for us. We see the purpose. We see the command in Exodus. Now, I just want to talk about three verses in our passage. Verses 6, 7, and 8. I'm just going to read them to us one more time. It says this. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. That is so profound. Something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. To understand this is going to help you, it's going to help me take the Old Testament teachings on the Sabbath and apply them to our life. So Jesus wasn't pushing back on the Pharisees on whether or not the Sabbath was something to walk in or not. It's not what he was saying. Jesus agreed, yes, the Sabbath is something we should keep holy. But what Jesus was pushing back on is what he was pushing back on was this, is that the Pharisees were only keeping the Sabbath to be religious. They were only keeping the Sabbath to keep up their appearance. They were only walking in this because of traditions. And Jesus says, no, that's not why we Sabbath. It's not why we rest. We rest because God commanded us to. So the first thing that we see here is that we see that even the priests break the Sabbath in the temple. So the temple rituals always involved work in the Old Testament. Always involved work. The priest would conduct all of this work. Now, on the Sabbath, it says this, in Numbers 28, 9 through 10. On the Sabbath day, two male lambs a year without blemish, and two tenths of an ephah of flour and fine grain offering, mixed with oil and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. The work for the priest was doubled on the Sabbath. So what Jesus is saying here is, you're saying that my disciples were not walking in the Sabbath, but priests every Sabbath day break this law because the work is doubled. Then we see this. The second thing is that we see that Jesus claims, it has a direct claim to his deity, meaning fully God and fully man. Jesus said that he is greater than the temple. Even as much as the Pharisees and these other religious elite people honored and valued the temple, Jesus was greater. Because see, like, listen, in the Old Testament, the temple was where God's presence was, right? Yet in Jesus' day, the Ark of the Covenant, which was kind of the symbol of the demonstration of the throne and the presence of God, it was no longer in the temple. But Jesus was God made flesh. Jesus is the presence of God. Jesus is a sacred fire from heaven. Jesus is greater than this temple. So let's apply that to us today. The temple was admired and loved and wondered. And we should admire Jesus even more. The temple was joyfully visited. We should come to Jesus with even more joy. The temple was a place of sacrifice and service. We should do even more for Jesus. The temple was a place for worship, but we should worship Jesus even more. And what the Pharisees were hearing from Jesus and what Jesus was telling him is that he had authority to tell them what the Sabbath was and was not. And if you see there, that word Lord here is Kairos or Kairos. And it means this: he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, master or lord. Jesus had authority over the Sabbath. Jesus had the power to decide whether the Sabbath was being followed or not. Jesus was the master of the Sabbath, and he is the master of the Sabbath. So I just want to share three things that the Sabbath does for you and for me. Three things, simple things that the Sabbath does for you and for me. Hebrews 4, 9 through 10, it says this: so then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest also rested from the work God did, as God did from his. So these three points are not to convince you to take one day off a week from work. Because I promise you, like, if that was the case, we'd all, like, jump up and clap. Because, like, who wants to work 7 days a week, right? So this is not what this is. The point of these things is to show you how to rest in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so the first one is this, is that the Sabbath is to remind us that Jesus is the point. The Sabbath is to remind us that Jesus is the point. We were created for Jesus. And everything we do should be for him. And sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we get frustrated because we get consumed with paying the bills or raising the kids. And we keep trying to get ahead. But listen, that's not the point. The point is Jesus. So one day a week that God commands us to cease from our labor and think about why we are here in the first place. Sabbath is not a rest from our primary pursuit in life. The Sabbath is ultimately why we are alive. And here's the point. Most of us, and most of the times when life gets off track, it simply can be boiled down to this, is that we forgot why we are here. We forgot God's call on our life. The Sabbath is supposed to be a day where we can lean back, lean into the Lord, and truly remember why we're here. Number two, the Sabbath is to remind us that Jesus is the provider. That Jesus is the provider. When God commanded the people in the Old Testament to take a day off of work, it wouldn't be like us, like celebrating, like, okay, sweet, I get Fridays off, I'm just going to quote claim that as my Sabbath, boss, okay. So, like, they would have been upset. They would have said, they had to harvest their crops daily. They would have had to obtain water daily. They couldn't turn on the sink and get water. Times of working and providing for your family in that day were hard. But God told them that even if they only worked 6 days, that on the seventh, he would provide for them. He told them that he would make their effectiveness even more on those 6 days if they rested on the seventh. So often I hear, and even in my own life, I say stuff like this. I say, there's just not enough time to get done what I want to get done. Like, I literally was driving in the car, and I told Alyssa that same sentence on the way to eat. But studying the Sabbath has prompted me to ask these questions about my life, and I just want to let you see inside my heart. Is me working 7 days a week causing me to not leave room for God to provide for me? It has me asking the question, am I trying to get everything done, therefore nothing is getting done? Because I'm trying to play God. It has me asking this question, am I working so hard and so much because I'm ultimately finding my identity in work besides Jesus? And listen, this week has been difficult to answer those questions. And I'm going to say this statement, and it's going to feel pretty bold, but stay with me. It says this, it says, I would say that the Sabbath is a lack of faith in Jesus. A lack of Sabbath is a lack of faith in Jesus. Let me explain. If you can't Sabbath, and I struggle with this, I can't Sabbath, you're saying, and what I'm saying to others and to God is that I've got this. I'm saying that I can work hard enough to provide for myself. I'm saying I can work hard to not worry about anything. I'm saying that I don't need God. So when we aren't actively pursuing the Sabbath, you're actively saying that you don't trust Jesus with your life. And when we Sabbath, when we actually rest, when we actually walk in the Sabbath, we're actively saying that Jesus is the ultimate provider in our life. And this is the gospel. Listen, this is the gospel. Jesus came to us, leaving a perfect relationship with his Father, and did all the work that was possible, that was needed for us to have salvation. Jesus paid the debt. You didn't. I didn't. Jesus was the sacrifice. You or I were not. Jesus laid down his own life. He did the work. He provided. Listen, the gospel isn't try harder and earn your way to heaven. The gospel is Jesus has already provided everything that you and I need to enter into relationship with him. And a lack of Sabbath is a lack of acknowledging that. And then number three is this. The Sabbath is to remind us that Jesus is our salvation. Deuteronomy 5:12 says this, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded. You shall remember that when you were a slave in the land of Egypt and your Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So God's people were fleeing the people of Egypt, right? They were fleeing the people of Egypt and they get to this Red Sea. Right? The Egyptians were coming down and they're there. They're like, what do we do? And then Moses prays to the Lord and is directed to put his staff in the sea, and the Red Sea splits. And my question to you is did the God's people put their hand up like in a strange way to hold up the water? No. Did God's people do anything to make that happen? No. The ultimate provider of that salvation was God. The Lord did all of that himself. The Lord split the Red Sea. The Lord saved his people. The Lord protected his people. And so God desired for those people, the Israelites, to pause and to reflect on his goodness, his grace, his mercy from the hand that they were brought from Egypt. Like that is what he commanded them to do. And we too are to reflect on our new identity in Jesus on the Sabbath. It says this, you were a slave, now you are a son. These people, they were slaves to Pharaoh, now they are a son to God. And so let me ask you this question. When was the last time you and I stopped and paused and set a day aside to rest and to think and to wonder and to engage and to worship Jesus on our salvation? Like, when was the last time that I paused and remembered 10th grade year when I gave my life to Jesus? When was the last time I did that? Because if I'm not doing that, then I'm not able to remember why I'm here. I'm not able to remember what God has done for me. And so I know you're asking the question, and I've been asking the question for the past couple of months, what do I do with the Sabbath? Like, what do I do with this, like, tomorrow, like on a Monday, when I have to go back to work, right? Let me just say this. It's supposed to be a 24-hour day of Sabbath, right? That we're to remember that Jesus is the priority. And for some of us in this room, most of us, right, when you began to tithe as a follower of Jesus, that's when your faith became real. Because it cost you something tangible, right? It's where the rubber met the road of your faith. And you say things like, I don't know how I'm going to tithe. I don't know how I'm going to afford to do this. I don't know what I'm going to do, but here we go, God. I'm trusting you. And the principle of the Sabbath is the same thing. I'm saying, we're saying, Jesus, I don't know how I can slow down on the treadmill of life. The pace is too fast. I cannot stop. Or we're saying, Jesus, I don't know how to stop caring so much. Because everybody comes to me with their problems. However, for 24 hours, I'm just going to unplug. I'm going to rest. I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to lean into my spouse and my kids. I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to produce. The ultimate rest that you and I are longing for, that my soul is craving, is that living a life having Christ as our main priority is the best life. Matthew 6:33, it says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. All the things, anything you could care for, relationships, money, financial status, any of those things will be taken care of if you first seek the kingdom of God. Now listen, I'm not pushing prosperity gospel to you. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that when you seek the Lord first, God will give you a different perspective. That whatever comes your way, little or great, is a blessing from the Lord. And so I just have a simple illustration to end our time together. It's a story. One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. Now, like dudes in the room that got like big beards, I see Mac over there. Like that's what I imagine. Like some burly guys coming up here like, bro, you want to chop wood? Like, let's go, okay? And so they chop wood like all day, okay? And he says, I want to see if I can chop more wood than you. It's just crazy challenge. Anyway, so the challenger worked very hard. He stopped only for a brief lunch break. But the other man had a leisurely lunch, and he took several breaks throughout the day. And at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. And he said, I don't get it. He said, every time I checked, you were taking a rest. And the other one said, but you didn't notice, said the winning woodsman, that I was sharpening my axe every time I rested. So I don't want to give you a list of things to do to make a Sabbath happen in your life, because honestly, I don't know, right? I'm trying to figure this out myself. But what I want to do is just give you four questions. One, am I reflecting that Jesus is my righteousness? Am I reflecting on Jesus as my righteousness? Am I resting in Jesus as my identity? Am I trusting Jesus as my security? Am I placing Jesus as my priority? Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I'm here not as an expert, not somebody that is living this out. But Father, I know that the word that you've given me is working and shaping my life. And Lord, I pray that you would do that in the life of your people here. That we would realize that we're not meant to go all the time, all day, every day, but that we are meant to rest in you. Love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we respond, like we're going to have an elder stand over here. I'll be over here. Pastor Adam will be over here. And if you want to do that, please come. But also, like Adam talked about the front half of the service, there is a sheet of paper in your chair with a pen. And it's for you to write down the answer to this question. What busyness in your life is plaguing you from Sabbath? Like, what busyness in your life is plaguing you from the Sabbath? I have mine right here, and it says the performance of man. I don't want people to think that I am not worth anything, so that's why I don't rest. So you can respond by talking to one of us. You can respond this way, and you can respond just by at your seat, worshiping through prayer. But as the Lord moves in you, you move.